Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The relationship between producers and packers has been an issue of discussion for more than a century. Recently, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue withdrew the Farmers' Fair Practice Rules from GPSA. GPSA stands for the Grain Inspection Packers and Stockyards Administration. Joining us with reaction is Gary Deering. He's president of the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. He joins us from near Mobridge. Gary Deering, welcome to In the Moment.
Yeah, thank you, Lori. I appreciate being on here.
I think we need to lay some groundwork for folks who have not heard of GPSA or understand, you know, what's at stake here. So let's just start with what GPSA and the Farmers' Fair Practice Rules are.
Sure. They basically, Lori, they attempted to lay some groundwork to help producers level the playing field, if you will, to when they market their livestock and poultry and stuff within the United States. It was several rules within there that that we felt was necessary, and we felt that was going to give a great deal of help to some producers out there.
What kind of rules are we talking about? How did it specifically level that playing field?
Well, there was several things. The undue preferences and unfair practice rules were in there. Undue preferences obviously just simply made the packers say why they were preferring a product over another one. Why did they give fair more preferential treatment to one over another one? Or why did they discount something over another one within that marketplace? Within the unfair practice provision, just simply defining some rules that I think you and I know what unfair means, but oftentimes when it gets to the courts, it becomes rather confusing. So it simply went to define the term unfair or unjust discrimination or deception, things that we kind of take for granted, but oftentimes gets muddied up in the courtroom.
So we're talking about packers and producers, and help me understand why the playing field needs to be leveled in the first place. Let's lay out a little bit of history here.
Well, sure. I think it's just something that we've watched our pork operations go from in the United States from 250,000 in 1992 when I was just a freshman in college down at SDSU, just in just 20 years go down to about 65,000. Certainly, we don't want to see something like that happen in the beef industry, and that's something that's we're well on our radars, and we got to work to make sure that does not happen.
So how many packers are there? Give us a little bit of idea for people who don't, work in this industry. You know, how does it work? How many packers are there in the state of South Dakota or in the country? You know, where do producers go to sell their?
Sure. No matter how many packers there are within the state of South Dakota, or in the United States, I mean, that's a tough one there. I don't know exactly the number. But the biggest point we're making is that four beef packers slaughter 85% of the cattle within the United States, and that's where the concern lies. Whether there's market concentration or not, there certainly is potential for that with that few of packers controlling that much of the market.
All right, so you've thought a lot about both sides of this issue and sort of decided, on behalf of, or with the president, to speak out on behalf of the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. I should say that this is, something that you'd like people to pay attention to. Give me an idea of what some of the arguments, for, is this, you people say it's deregulation. Too many regulations is too much. The Trump administration wants to get rid of, eliminate some of the regulations. What's your response to people who say that?
Well, the Packers and Stockyards Administration, the Packers and Stockyards Act let's go back to 1921 when this was implemented. I mean, it's an issue that is not going away. We can see that it's not going away. In 2010 to 2011, there was a comment period open for 60 days, I believe, and they received 60,000 comments on that. So that tells me that this issue has been talked about for right at 100 years and probably over 100 years. So it's something that I hope the administration didn't act in haste and simply postpone this decision. And as we know this is gonna veer its ugly head again and come back. So it's something that we're going to need to work towards implementing some rules. We're also going to, we as the South Dakota Stockgrowers Association, invite anybody that would like to talk and sit down and visit about some rules that would help producers with these competition issues.
One of the other criticisms is that these rules opened up, you know, for too many lawsuits, and you know, producers could just claim unfair treatment and not really have to prove it. Do you think that there needs to be clarity added in the future? Do you hope that that's the direction this is going?
I hope that's the direction, that we can get some clear rules that would help producers. Obviously, the other situation is I don't really want to get into the weeds on a hypothetical situation. Basically what the provision was the fact that it was going to open up the doors for producers to prove that they were treated unfairly without proving harm to the entire industry. So with that said, like I said, I don't want to get into a hypothetical question of whether that would open more lawsuits or not right now. But at the same time, it would certainly give producers a little bit of chance to prove unfairness.
Were these rules ever implemented, or were they sort of waiting to be implemented? And Sonny Perdue has said, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue has said, you know, no, we're going to pull them back before implementation, or have they already been implemented?
Well, it's certainly been a roller coaster, if you will. Our organization, the South Dakota Stockgrowers, has been involved with this for a good many years. It's been somewhat of a political football that's being played by a lot of different people. It was implemented within the 2008 Farm Bill, and we were certainly high-fiving each other at our office, and we thought that it was something that was going to go forward. But as politics play out, sometimes it can come back it can rear its ugly head again. And that's, like I said, I think it's time we at least sit down and take a good look at some of these rules and discuss some of this, because it's certainly something that has been around a long time and is going to come back.
Let's talk about some of the voices of opposition in Congress. What are you hearing from South Dakota congressional representatives and from you know, senators in other states that also would have a high concern about this?
I haven't heard much right now from our congressional delegation. We've certainly got our two neighboring states have been very supportive. Senator Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, has been very instrumental in implementing these rules. He just sent a letter out with some disgust of Secretary Perdue's decision. Senator Tester from up in Montana was another one that's certainly been very supportive of these rules, and we look forward to working with them as well as our congressional delegation going forward.
And I did send an email to Senator Thunes and Senator Rounds' offices this morning asking them if they wanted to weigh in. It was about 2 hours ago. I haven't heard back yet, but we'll bring that information to listeners if we hear from them. And my guest, if you're just tuning in, is Gary Deering. He is president of the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. And I'm wondering for producers who feel like there are unfair practices now, what other tools do they have? Do they have any?
Well, obviously, the Packers and Stockyard Act is still in effect. They did throw out the rules. Unfortunately, like we've been discussing, yeah, these rules would have helped a lot of producers. It would have taken it a little bit further. Would have taken the next step, if you will. Obviously, I think we've got a great congressional delegation, and I think they're going to stand with the producers on this one. And I look forward to working with them, and hopefully getting something in the future that will ensure that.
While we have you on the phone, you haven't been on the show yet. Let's hear a little bit about who the South Dakota Stock Growers are, and then let's expand to talk about some other things that might matter to you right now. Tell us a little bit about your organization.
Yeah, sure. Great. Thank you. The South Dakota Stock Growers, we've been around. We just celebrated our 126th annual convention, and we've worked very hard. We're the oldest state-run cattle organization in the United States, something I'm very proud of, and a lot of us are very proud of. Most recently, we've worked on a lot of national issues, cool being a big one. We not only feel that the consumers want to know, but also have the right to know where their food comes from, and we believe that will, in effect, help our markets as well. We're really watching right now. We're keeping it high on our radar. The tax reform that's coming out, and President Trump has been promising us things in there that is included is the estate tax, as well as interest deductions and 1031 exchanges, stuff that's really interests us, and we need to keep an eye on, and really could help the producers of South Dakota. There's other things right now that are going on the tax issue. We've got this year is going to come up as actual use legislation. We've worked on that a good many years. We feel the producers they have the best knowledge of how the best use of their land is, and we feel that that is some legislation that is some common sense legislation, and hopefully we can get something done with it, as we've seen some in the grassland areas have been the taxes have really gone up, and it's something that we need to really work on. So obviously we had the big issue last year, non-meandered waters, and Sylvia, our executive director, she's worked very hard with a lot of producers and helping describe to the agencies some of the concerns that they have and the rights they have.
You mentioned cool or country of origin labeling. Do you see that as a hopeful conversation that might come up with the 2018 Farm Bill?
Oh, obviously, like I said, that's something that as well as GPSA that we've been involved in since the beginning. And yeah, we're always hopeful that it comes up, and we're going to fight for our producers and ensure that they have a seat at the table, and that the most of the producers are wanting it, and I think it's something that we need to try to get in there. Yes.
Do you see an appetite for it in Washington yet?
Oh yeah, I think there's some in Washington. You see the consumers definitely are asking for it. If you go to some of your restaurants, you notice the locally owned on a lot of things, and I think I think the buzz is catching on. So
you also mentioned the estate tax. Tell me a little bit more about what you'd like to see happen there and how it would impact South Dakotans. Who would it impact in South Dakota?
Sure. Well, I'd like to see a full repeal. I think that's necessary. I don't think it's something that we've been kicking this can down the road for a good many years, and I just don't think it's worth messing around and trying to raise any limits right now. So I think a full repeal is the way to go. It's a terrible is about the best word I can come up with is how it affects the farmers and ranchers. It deals with the estates over $5 million, and on some farm and ranches that becomes with the land value and your other assets, that becomes pretty easy to attain. And I don't think our founders, nor do I think it's was meant to ever have a tax to be taxed when you die, so to speak. And I think it puts a big challenge on family farmers and ranchers to retain that legacy and to move on if they have to borrow money to pay that tax.
How difficult is it? Because the criticism I keep hearing about this is that it only really impacts the very wealthy. You're saying over $5 million, South Dakota rancher. How hard is it to get to that sort of amount on a sheet of paper that says, yes, this impacts you?
Sure. Well, if you look at what land values have done in the state of South Dakota, I mean, it takes above average size, but not much above average size to get to that level. And when you're speaking from the perspective of farmers and ranchers that don't often have liquid assets or cash on hand, it makes it very difficult for them to pay that tax. So it's the assets are there right now. You take a look at just a few years ago when a lot of our farmland went up about 20-25% in value. I mean, that could happen overnight, maybe before you had time to plan your estate. And like I said, I don't think it's ever meant to be, we were ever meant to be taxed when we pass. I think that, it right away puts an unfair advantage at to the big corporations, and it's a tax that is hurting family farmers and ranchers.
Anything else on the 2018 Farm Bill? I know Senator John Thune has already rolled out some legislation. Are you anticipating anything from him coming up? Are you liking what you see from what's coming out so far? We'll just close with that.
We're looking for to the debates and the discussion on the farm bill. Obviously, we'd like to see some provisions like COOL and GIPSA within a lot of this and a lot of the discussions. And we look forward to working with everybody on this too. We invite anyone to give us a call and work with us and let us share our thoughts on all these issues that are so important to the livelihood and the competition of farmers and ranchers in the state of South Dakota.
Gary Deering is president of the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. Nice to meet you. Hopefully you'll come back and join us on the program again. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Lori.